But let's stand together, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12.
Amen.
Notice the Bible says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you.
Amen.
Always laboring fervently for you in prayers.
Amen.
That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God.
Amen.
For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis.
Amen.
All right, we'll stop there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray this morning as I preach the message that I trust that you've led me to preach, that it would go forth today with clarity,
Amen.
That you'd give us understanding. Please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit.
Yes.
We once again recognize, as you say in John 15, without you, we can do nothing.
Amen.
And so we need thee this morning. I need thee to preach, and we need thee to listen.
Help us,
and we do ask if someone's here today that's not saved, that today they would get that settled. And then for the believer, that you would speak to our hearts as we look at this man by the name of Epaphras. So please bless the message. Use it to bring glory to yourself. For we ask it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning we are going to look at this sixth person that the Apostle Paul mentions here in his closing remarks of this letter written to this relatively young church located in the city of Colossae. Now again, Paul was writing to this church while he was under house arrest. Understand when this took place, the writing of this letter. Paul had already been on three missionary journeys. When he'd gone to Jerusalem, he was arrested by the unbelieving Jews, the Sanhedrin there, and he stood before them, who they could not find any fault in him. And so they sent him to Caesarea, where he was imprisoned there for 2 years. So he went through three missionary journeys, was arrested in Jerusalem, spent 2 years in Caesarea in prison, where he appeared before Felix and Festus and Agrippa, who then sent him on a ship to Rome because he appealed to Caesar. And when he got to Rome, they sent him under house arrest, where he would be for 2 full years. Now, house arrest in those days was similar to house arrest today. A house arrest, of course, is when the prisoner is confined to his or her residence. I don't think he got an ankle bracelet at that time. But he was confined, of course, certain restrictions, and was kind of used as a lenient alternative to prison time, and that's what he was under. And so Paul, during this house arrest period, he used it for God's glory.
Amen.
He wrote four letters to churches. He wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus. He wrote a letter to the church at Philippi. He wrote a letter to this church at Colossae. And then a letter to the pastor of the church at Colossae, a man by the name of Philemon. And he also used his time to not only write letters, but also to coordinate the activities of his co-laborers in those churches that he had planted on his missionary journeys. And so here, as Paul winds down this letter to the church at Colossae, he mentions 10 of those co-laborers, beginning in verse 7. Notice he begins by mentioning two people, Tychicus and Onesimus. Tychicus, in verse 7, he calls him, he says of him, he's a beloved brother, he's a faithful minister, and he's a fellow servant. Notice in verse 9, he mentions Onesimus, that's that one he led to the Lord while he was under house arrest, and he calls him a faithful and beloved brother. It would be those two that would be delivering this letter to the Colossian church, along with the letter to Philemon, and they would be updating them on the condition of the Apostle Paul. And then he goes on to mention three Jewish brethren, beginning in verse 10. He mentions Aristarchus in verse 10, Marcus in verse 10, and then Jesus, also known as Justice, in verse 11. And he says that these three men, notice the phrase, were all of the circumcision, meaning they were Jewish people that got saved. He calls them fellow workers, and he says that they were a comfort to him as well. And then in verse 12 in our text, Paul brings up number 6, as I said at the beginning. He is a man by the name of Epaphras, and that is a man that we're going to spend some time looking at today. Now, this is not the first time that this man Epaphras is mentioned in the book of Colossians. If you look back at chapter 1, just flip a page and look at verse 7. Notice we read, "As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." Amen. Now remember, the Apostle Paul, up to this point, had never been to Colossae. He'd never seen this church, but Epaphras had. As a matter of fact, as we gather the facts of the New Testament together, it was Epaphras that was likely sent out of the church at Ephesus when Paul was on his third missionary journey, as to getting the gospel there to this area. And it was Epaphras that was an intricate part of planning those three churches that were in that area called the Lycus Valley, the church at Colossae, the church at Laodicea, and the church at Hierapolis. Those three churches and cities formed a triangle about 10 to 15 miles apart from one another, and Epaphras was left by Paul to oversee those young churches. Now, here at the end of the letter, Paul mentions him once again, back to our text, and he gives some more details about this man's character. And I'd like for us to notice a simple phrase that Paul uses to describe this man, Epaphras, found in verse 12. Notice we read, "Epaphras, who is one of you," here's the phrase, "a servant of Christ,"
amen,
"saluteth you." Paul describes Epaphras as a servant,
amen,
of Christ.
Praise the Lord.
A servant.
Amen.
Now, the English word, here we go, so hang on here, give me 2 minutes to explain this. The English word servant is used by the Apostle Paul 23 times in his church epistles. In other words, from the book of Romans to the book of 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul uses that word, servant, on 23 different occasions. But there are two different Greek words that are translated to the English word servant.
Right.
Let me give you what I mean. There is the Greek word diakonos.
Amen.
Now, diakonos is most often translated to the English word minister. But it's also translated to the English word servant. So you have the Greek word diakonos, which means servant or minister. But then there's another Greek word that is used as well, and that is the Greek word doulos.
Amen.
So there's diakonos, servant, and then there's doulos, servant. Now, doulos is most often translated to the English word servant, but occasionally it's translated to the word bond. In other words, someone who is bound. I'm going somewhere here.
Amen.
Now, here's an example of what I mean. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 1, is one example of where the word diakonos, servant, is used. "I commend you unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea." The Greek word there is diakonos. She is a servant or a minister. But then in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, we find the word doulos. We read, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God." So sometimes the Greek word is diakonos, and sometimes the Greek word is doulos. What's the difference?
Amen.
Well, this is important.
Right.
Both of those words are rightly translated servant, by the way. Our King James Bible is perfect. But they describe servants, watch this, to different degrees.
Right. Amen.
Now here's what I mean by that. A diakonos is a Christian who is engaged in the action of serving the Lord or serving in ministering to others. That's really simple. We have a lot of people today that were serving in ministries of the church.
Right.
People on the bus, people in Sunday school, people helping out. And so they are being a diakonos. They are serving the Lord. They are ministering to others. But a doulos goes much deeper than that.
Right.
Yes, a doulos does serve the Lord and minister to others, but a doulos is someone, watch this, who voluntarily makes himself a bond slave of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's a big difference if you ask me.
Amen.
There's a big difference between a diakonos and a doulos. Now again, every doulos is a diakonos, but not everyone who is a diakonos is a doulos.
Amen.
Figure that one out later if you didn't get it. Now, a bond slave, watch this, a doulos, a bond slave is one, here's the definition, one whose person and liberty are voluntarily subjected
Amen.
To the authority of a master. And we know in the Christian world, that master is Jesus Christ. So understand, when we're talking about a doulos is a Christian who sees himself as someone who has been bought with a price. Someone who is owned by his master, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom he gives his undivided allegiance, and he serves him with gladness of heart and in newness of spirit. He is a slave by choice to the Lord Jesus Christ. Big difference between a diakonos and a doulos. Now, there's only five people that are referred to as a doulos in the New Testament. Now, I am in no way implying that these are the only ones that were doulos in the New Testament. But these are the ones that have been labeled doulos. Let me give you the first one. Jesus Christ.
Praise Jesus. Amen.
Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Guess what that word servant is there? The other. It's a doulos. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ saw himself as totally committed to his heavenly Father. He was a bond slave to his master. Jesus Christ, no doubt, as our example, was a doulos. The Apostle Paul as well. Number two is the Apostle Paul. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul says, I am a doulos. Timothy was one as well. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. That word is, again, doulos. Doulos, if you will, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So Jesus Christ is called a doulos. The Apostle Paul is called a doulos. Timothy is called a doulos. And what's interesting in our text in verse 7, Tychicus as well is labeled a doulos. Colossians 4:7. Notice, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother. Now watch this. And a faithful minister, that's diakonos, and fellow servant, doulos, in the Lord. So he not only served and ministered, he made Jesus Christ, he was a bond slave to Jesus Christ as well.
Hallelujah.
Well, there's a fifth one.
Praise the Lord.
Who would have guessed?
Amen.
Guess who it is?
Amen.
Epaphras.
Right.
Epaphras in our text is called a doulos. Epaphras, who is one of you, a doulos of Christ. So this morning, I told you it was a little bit of a long front porch there. I'm going to preach on this subject. Epaphras, the doulos. You know, while there are only five people called to be called doulos in the New Testament church epistle, do you know that God desires every believer to be a doulos?
Amen. Right.
You say, what? Yeah. All of us.
Amen.
And by the way, every believer can be a doulos if we choose to.
Praise the Lord.
Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey.
Amen.
Doulos is His doulas, his servants, ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. The Lord is saying here, you are yielding yourself to someone. You see, all of us are willingly giving our allegiance to somebody.
Right. Amen.
You are.
Amen.
For most of us, it's ourselves.
God help us.
I do what I want to do. I go where I want to go. But for the Christian,
amen,
that someone, amen, that we should give our allegiance to, that we should consider ourselves a bondslave to,
amen,
is the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be our master. He's the one,
amen,
that should tell us how to live. He's the one that should,
amen,
dictate what we do with our lives, where to go, and all of that.
Amen.
But we must make him, we must be a doulos and make him our master. So, we're looking at Epaphras, the doulos, and as I read through these two verses, and this description that Paul gives of Epaphras, I think we find some characteristics of a doulos. Right here in our text. Paul said he's a doulos. What does a doulos look like? Well, here's a small portion of it, but that's enough for me this morning to be challenged. So I see three things, three characteristics this morning in our text of a doulos, of Epaphras, the doulos.
Right.
Number one, I see this, that a doulos is committed to God's work.
Amen.
Now notice what he says here. It's interesting. Epaphras, who is one of you.
Right.
He's one of you.
Praise the Lord.
What does he mean by that?
Good.
Epaphras, you know, he's one of you.
Amen.
In other words, watch this. Epaphras was someone who was all in the work of God at Colossae.
Right.
He was all in.
Right.
He was a doulos. Epaphras was right there in the midst of everything in that church. He was involved in every aspect of the work.
Amen.
He counted himself as one of them.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You see, Epaphras wasn't somebody on the fringe.
That's
good. He wasn't somebody that was halfway in and
right,
halfway out.
Amen.
He wants someone to say, well, where's Epaphras today? We're having a service. He's not. Wasn't one of them.
Right.
Epaphras was one of them.
Right.
And by the way, that's what a doulos is.
Right.
If we say, I am a doulos, he is my master,
right,
he is my Lord, I am a bondslave to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Understand what we're saying. We're saying, I am all in the work of God. I am a part of this church. Count me on the team.
Amen.
I am one of you. That's what a doulos says.
Praise the Lord.
You see, a doulos is someone who is all in two ways. The first way is this, physically.
Right.
Well, I'm with you there in heart. Well, that helps a lot when we're trying to stack some chairs. Well, I'm there in spirit. Well, I watch online and I get what I need. A doulos doesn't do that. Now, I understand some people have to. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
I'm talking about people that choose to.
Amen.
You see, a doulos is all in physically. When it's church time, he's here. When it's Sunday school time, he's here. When it's Wednesday night or special meetings or it's missions conference, he's here. When it's time to go knock on doors, a doulos is here. When volunteers are needed, the first hand to go up are those that are doulos's. When it's time to do things like assemble John and Romans or set up and clean up for fellowship, the doulos, he said, I am in. When it's time to give, there's no question what he's going to do. He knows, hey, there's a need around here. Hey, I'll give because why? I'm a doulos and I am all in. You see, he's already decided in his heart that if there's something going on in the church and he can be there, he's in.
Praise the Lord.
He's there physically.
Hallelujah.
But you know, he's also there emotionally.
Right. Glory to God.
You say, what do you mean by that? His heart is in it.
Amen.
All right, preacher. It's missions conference. I guess I'll have to get something to give to the missionaries. Wow, that's the spirit of it right there. You're all in. No, you're not.
Right.
You see, a doulos, his heart is in it. He doesn't do things because he has to. He doesn't do things because a preacher has guilted him to do it or a parent has forced him to do it. He's not a mechanical Christian. He's not just going through the motions so he can say, well, I did something. He does it because he wants to. He desires to because he's a doulos and he's not doing it for people. He's doing it for his master, his Lord. By the way, God wants all of us to be all
right.
In.
Amen.
And if you're not, why aren't you? Well, you know, I just stop making excuses.
Amen.
Do you remember what Moses did when he came down from Mount Sinai and he saw Aaron and the whole calf situation there in Exodus chapter 32. Do you remember what he did when he came down? We read in verse 26, and Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side?
Amen.
Let him come unto me. In other words, here's a line in the sand. Hey, it's time to make up your mind. Are you in this thing or are you out of this thing? Are you playing around with the Christian life or are you all in?
Amen.
That's what he's saying there.
Praise the
Lord. Boy, it's getting awful quiet in here.
Amen.
We find that throughout the Word of God. Joshua did that to the children of Israel in his speech, if you will, in Joshua chapter 24. He said to the people who were hemming and hawing back and forth, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Count me a doulos. I'm all in.
Right.
Oh, I know you thought of Elijah as well. So did I.
Amen.
There on Mount Carmel with the children of Israel, where he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God,
Amen.
Follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.
Right. Amen.
And I say this in all kindness. I think for many Christians, it's time to get off the fence. It's time to stop playing around. It's time to stop making excuses. Stop playing church and get involved. Get committed to God's house. Get committed to God's work. Life is short. Jesus Christ is coming again. What are we waiting for?
Amen.
Be a doulos.
Praise the Lord.
A doulos is committed to God's work.
Amen.
Would you be one today?
Praise Jesus.
You'd be happy you did.
I'll
get to that there at the end.
Amen.
So we see, number one, a doulos is committed to God's work. Then we see, number two, I see a second characteristic of Epaphras. A doulos is concerned for God's people.
Amen.
Notice what he says in verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, he's all in, a doulos, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Watch this. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God.
Praise the Lord.
Now notice we read that Epaphras was a man of prayer.
Right.
And notice how his prayer life is described. Laboring fervently.
Right.
Now that phrase is translated from one Greek word, agonizomai. Now I think you get what it sounds like. It means to agonize in prayer. That's what it means. It literally means to struggle. It's kind of like, that's the idea, like you're competing for a prize, like you're fighting, if you will, contending. And understand, that's what a consistent prayer life is. It is labor.
Amen.
You see, having a consistent and persistent prayer life is not easy. It takes work, it takes effort, it takes time, and it takes patience. My wife and I, we've been praying for some of our lost family members for over 25 years. And I'll be frank with you. At the beginning, you know, we were fervently at it.
Amen.
Do you know what happens? Time goes on.
Right.
And there's the days you even forget them. That's our nature. As days and months and years pass, it is easy to forget or to give up or to even throw our hands up in the air and to say, what's the use? But notice what Epaphras did. He labored fervently in prayer for these church members.
Right.
again and again, he brought their names before the throne of grace. Why did he do that? Here's why. Because he cared for them.
Praise the Lord.
He cared for them.
Amen.
Notice what he desired for them in verse 12. That ye may stand, that the people at Colossae, the church members, may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. In other words, he desired them to be strong, mature Christians, to not be swayed by doctrinal error, and so that they might fulfill the will of God in their lives.
Right. Amen.
He was concerned for people.
Praise the Lord.
You know what is a difficult thing in the Christian life? Excuse me. People.
Right.
I think that's one of the reasons why people don't become adulos. Well, I got to deal with people. I think that's why a lot of people like to float around from church to church and not be all in. Because they don't want to deal with people. I can just slide in and slide out and nobody know, you know, and I can kind of lie low, fly under the radar. And we are too often like the apostles that said in Mark chapter 6, when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread." Hey, look at all these people. Jesus, send them away. We had enough of them. Give us a break. Many times we're like that. But the truth is, people are the ministry.
Amen.
The ministry is not events.
Right.
We use events, but the ministry is people.
Amen.
And someone who is a doulos will be concerned for people.
Amen.
They will love people. They will care for people because they will have the mind of Christ as seeing them as sheep without a shepherd.
Amen.
And treat them as Jesus Christ treated them, with mercy and compassion, and fervently pray for them.
Amen.
And desire that they, yes, stand complete, stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And when a doulos does this, not because of them, but because of him.
Glory to God. Amen.
Because we have the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Glory to God. Amen.
For people.
Right.
You know, years ago, I remember one of the Cordry girls, I forget, and they're not Cordrys anymore. One is. But they were there. I don't know if it was Sarah or Rachel. She was out at First Baptist Church in Hammond, which is, Pastor John Wilkerson, very large church, college and all that. And she said that she was out there. I don't know what she went there for. This was after she had graduated. And she said Pastor Wilkerson passed by her and said, and I'll just use Sarah, his name is one of the two. And he said to her, as she walked, "Hello, Sarah." And she was perplexed. She said, "How do you know me?
Amen.
How do you know my name?" She was telling me this story. And here's what he said to her. He said, "You remember the people you're praying for." It's powerful, isn't it?
Amen.
Of course, we know that their mom had gone through cancer, and the church out there had been praying for Pam and so forth. The Lord took her home. But he was praying for her.
Amen.
Because he was concerned about her.
Amen.
You see, when we care for people, we pray for them when they need it.
Right. Amen.
Because that's what a doulos does.
Yes.
Amen. He's, again, concerned for God's people. Because I've given myself to God.
Amen.
And the ministry is people.
Right.
And so I care for them as Christ does.
Amen.
But then there's a third thing I notice, number three. Not only is a doulos committed to God's work and concerned for God's people, this is a little different than the first point. He's also consumed with the work of the ministry.
Right.
In other words, his priorities.
Amen.
Look what he says in verse 13. "For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis." You see, that's what a doulos has.
Amen.
A person that has made Jesus Christ truly his master, and has said, "I am a bondslave to him. Whatever he says, I'll do. Wherever he tells me to go, I'm going to go. His word is my authority." That's what he says. And he sees, a doulos sees serving God as his passion. He sees serving God as his priority above everything else. In other words, his life is about serving God. Now again, that doesn't mean we don't do anything else. We don't go to the store and buy groceries and that's, yeah, we gotta do that. I get that and you work and all that. We're talking about priority here.
Amen.
This is what a doulos does. His priority is about the work of the ministry.
Amen.
Serving the Lord. He's kind of like the household of Stephanas in Corinth, where the Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's what their life was about.
Right.
Their life purpose was about the work of the ministry.
Jesus.
And it should be like that for all of us.
Amen.
Do you remember what Christ said was a requirement for being a disciple, a doulos?
Right.
Luke 14, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We understand he's not talking about hate in the way we think of it today. It means if we place them above Jesus Christ,
right,
you can't be his disciple and I can't.
Amen.
You see, I can't be a doulos if I don't give him his rightful place.
Right.
He said that to the church at Colossae back in chapter 1 and verse 18. And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence.
Right. Amen.
In other words, he, his work of the ministry, is above my job. It's above my hobbies. It's above myself. And it's above my comfort. He comes first.
Amen.
That's what he says. Luke 14, 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Amen.
Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple.
Amen.
Disciple. Epaphras' priority was the work of the ministry. That's how he saw life. I'm here to serve the Lord. I'm here to do the work of God. I'm here to reach souls with the gospel.
Amen.
I'm here to make a difference in people's lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his priority.
Good. Amen.
And I challenge us all this morning with this question. Would you be a doulos?
Good. Amen.
I have one more thing to say here. Go over to Matthew chapter 10. Because often when you challenge people, God's people,
Amen.
To be a doulos, the immediate thought is this, why would I do that? Why would I do that? Well, let's find out why. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me.
Amen.
And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me.
Right.
And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me.
Amen.
Now watch verse 39, because this is the most important statement he makes out of this whole passage here. He that findeth his life shall lose it.
Right.
And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You see, people have the idea that if I become a doulos, I'm going to miss out. I can't do what I want to do. I can't go out and have fun. I can't go out and live it up. I can't go out and do what I feel like doing. You've got it all wrong.
Amen. Right.
You see, there is no greater joy in life
Amen.
Than releasing your life to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, people think they're better off holding back on God.
Right.
You're not.
Amen.
In fact, you will not have the life you think you're going to have. If you want the very best life that's possible, Christ says, give it over to me.
Amen.
You will have joy. You will have peace. You will have my blessing upon your life if you become a doulos.
Amen.
Or you can spend your whole life wrestling with God.
Right.
Trying to keep your life for yourself.
Lord have mercy.
And you're going to end up a miserable human being.
God forbid.
And never finding the joy and the peace
Amen.
That God wants you to have.
God help us.
You see, it's not better to not be a doulos. It's better to be
Amen.
A doulos.
Right.
Get to the place where you give it to God. Where you say to the Lord, Lord, I've been bought with a price.
Praise the Lord.
And you own me. You Amen. Are my master. Amen. I will serve you with my life, no matter Amen. What you want me to do. In the ministry, the mission field, just Amen. Serving in through the local church.
Amen.
My life is yours. I am a willing slave of you, Lord Jesus
Praise
Christ.
Amen.
And you're going to find out
right.
there's no greater joy.
Glory to God.
But you have to decide. You have to believe that paradox
right.
that if I lose my life and take my priorities, my goals and desires and push them aside
right.
and make
Amen.
My life about the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
If I do that, I'm right. going to have the best life I can possibly
Amen.
Have.
Praise the Lord.
But you have to believe it.
Right.
And you have to choose it.
Amen.
Let me just say this. You ask anybody that has done that, and every one of them
That's
will say,
good.
You know what? Being a doulos is better than not being a doulos.
Amen.
Because on the fringe, half-heartedness, kind of partially in, is not the way to have
Amen.
The abundant Christian life.
Right.
It's when you give it all away
right.
to our Lord. That's when you'll realize it.
Amen.
Epaphras, the doulos. Amen.
Right.